This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans, or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a holiday performance by Irish classical recording artist, conversation with the Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra's new chief executive officer, or a sneak peek at a timeless holiday ballet, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Irish singing sensations, The Priest, made their U.S. debut at Loyola University last year and have received worldwide acclaim. Their self-titled debut album sold at such a pace it secured them a place in the Guinness Book of World Records as the fastest-selling classical album debut of all time. The group of three Northern Ireland Roman Catholic priests, Fathers Martin O'Hagan, his brother Eugene O'Hagan, and David DeLarge, from the Diocese of Down and Connor, return to Loyola University tonight for a special holiday performance. Joining me now by phone from Cincinnati is Father Martin O'Hagan. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you very much indeed, Diane.
And welcome back to New Orleans. What are your thoughts as you make an encore performance in this city?
We are absolutely delighted to be returning. We had a fantastic experience last year when we were there in 2012. Got a wonderful insight into such a wonderful city, particularly after all the difficulties that New Orleans had faced in the past, tragic, and yet their spirit seems to be very strong and has pulled them through. So we've been very privileged to have experienced that wonderful sense of spirit in the city, and we're thrilled to be back singing again.
So tell me, what can we look forward to? What will you perform?
Well, we will have some of the favourites. There will be a little mix in terms of the recipe for the evening, a little mix with the secular and sacred as well. We have a few new pieces which we're adding to the repertoire as well. You will hear a little Van Morrison piece, actually. Van the Man, as he's called at home, comes from not too far away from Belfast. So we have a little piece that he has written, and we've also a couple of other new pieces, a lovely new Irish ballad that we have been working on, and a very newly crafted and composed piece by a very good friend of ours called Ring Out Your Praise, which is a very, very beautiful piece indeed. And there'll be a couple of other little gems that I hope that people will enjoy. But there'll hopefully be something in there for everybody.
I believe Ave Maria is one.
Yes, there's going to be the Ave Maria by Schubert, which of course is an all-time favourite. Another little Ave Maria by a 16th century composer called Caccini. So we're looking forward to that very much.
Tell me about the trio's beginnings. How was the group formed and what is the mission with your music?
Well, the group itself formally became The Priest in 2008 at the invitation of Sony, or Epic Label, which was a branch of Sony, who were looking for one priest who could sing the parts of the Latin Mass. But when they came and listened to ourselves, we did a little demo one evening, I remember it well, in February of 2008. After that, they decided to put the one voice on ice, as it were, maybe for the future, but they decided to put all three of us together into one project, and that's where The Priest began, and that's how we got our name, I suppose. But we have been singing together for nearly 40 years, all three of us, from a very, very young age indeed. So our story and our history, I suppose, is one where our lives are very much converged through the medium of music, and that has certainly been expressed very much through the albums that we have produced, The Priest's Harmony and the Christmas album, Noel. So we've been able now to bring this music to a very wide audience indeed. In fact, we are so overwhelmed by how successful everything has been, thank God, that we feel very humble and very privileged to be able to bring this music, and hopefully it lifts hearts.
Where did you, your brother and David meet up?
Well, of course, Eugene, myself, being brothers, we were singing since we were knee-high, and it was our mother who taught us very much indeed about the joy of music, and did so in a very, very beautiful way, one which was where we were pulled together in the front room of our house when we were very small, and she would have encouraged us to sing and to bring a lot of joy. David, I met at the age of 11. We are both the same class, and our paths have just journeyed very much and very closely together ever since then. So all three of us have seen our voices change from soprano to alto to tenor or to baritone. David's baritone, Eugene and myself are tenors.
Wow.
Fantastic, fantastic experience.
Now, the Priest accolades also include Raising the Roof, a film about your musical lives that's set for release next year. What can we look forward to?
Well, Raising the Roof is an idea that's been put forward by some of those who are scripting the actual film, and they're creating drafts, if you like, of the actual script itself. Now, that has to go through a very rigorous process, and I know that it's still ongoing. And hopefully, after that is complete, the hope is that, and there's already negotiations taking place, that a film company may take it up and run with this idea. If that happens, then we would have the opportunity of making another album with Sony, which would be a wonderful opportunity. The film itself is, I suppose, in its creative sort of state at the moment, and please God, if it does come to fruition, it will deal with a few issues. It's loosely based on our story, but it's set in the context of Northern Ireland during the Troubles. Maybe there was maybe friction or tension in that particular scene, and how there can be reconciliation and bridges built as well. That's the draft as it stands at present, but that could change. But I do know that it will be set within the context of Northern Ireland. And we did live through the Troubles ourselves, and indeed, they're still ongoing, if you like, at home, in a very subtle sense. So yes, let's hope. We're wondering who's going to play our parts. Eugene has gone for George Clooney, thinking that he might be the one who would act his part. And David has gone for Liam Neeson. And I've plumped for Brad Pitt. So you never know. We live in hope.
What are you hoping folks will take away from your concert experience in New Orleans?
We have a very gentle message, one of being uplifted, being taken away perhaps from all the frenetic activity of life into a quiet, still point where people have time to reflect and maybe just to forget about the troubles of life for a little while and maybe to be given some sort of support in the midst of that journey. The music we've always been very clear about is for everyone. So it's not just for those who are Catholic, it's for those who have faith, no faith. It's for everybody. And I think that's the beauty about music. It speaks volumes and builds bridges with everybody. And they've made that very clear right from the very beginning of this particular journey as the Priest. And I hope that people, when they come, that they'll enjoy the banter, the humour, the chat, the music itself, both orchestral and the singing voice and the blend, and that they'll go out with a little lilt in their step.
Beautiful. Father Martin, thanks so much.
Diane, my great pleasure, and thanks for all the wonderful support.
Father Martin O'Hagan of The Priest. The Priest performed tonight at Loyola University at 7:30 in the Louis J. Roussel Performance Hall, located in the Communications Music Complex on the corner of St. Charles Avenue and Calhoun Street. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Voices on the Arts is a partnership with NOLA V and WWNO, featuring 8 new leaders of the city's foremost cultural organizations. New Orleans arts institutions have perhaps never gone through this kind of major change all at once. We're hearing from these new executives on what they bring to New Orleans, how they are embracing our culture, and their plans for the future. Today, we visit with the LPO's new chief executive officer.
My name's James Boyd. I'm the chief executive officer with the Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra. I started with the orchestra in July of 2012, and originally from Oregon, but moved here most recently from Tucson, Arizona. You know, I lived in Ohio for a while. I lived in Arizona, and each of those communities that I've been in have had a distinct profile, but nothing like this. New Orleans is a bit of a closed network in terms of the culture here. So as a newcomer to the city, certainly it's not easy to get into certain doors, but that's why I also rely on our board members and lifelong residents because they're able to facilitate that. So I think that that's a fundamental positioning that you have to do as an arts leader here, is to really listen in a deeper way than perhaps you would have to in another community where you can transplant some of the ideas from each place and just say, well, this will work here because it works other places. Well, you have to throw that thinking out right away in New Orleans. If it works somewhere else, it's no guarantee it'll work here. As our staff will tell you, when we have a successful show, we sell tickets like crazy. And last year we had a situation where we added a second night. But then we've had other shows where they just barely break even. And it's hard to tell why sometimes. You just really can't tell. In terms of addressing the financial climate of New Orleans, I think it's first important to look at the fact that we're not just focused on New Orleans. Ideally, we're a statewide orchestra, and I think that reaching into the various communities that we do provides a base of support that other orchestras across the country don't benefit from. So we're actually in a good shape in terms of having a diversified base of support. I am excited that I can report that we recently paid off our external bank loan. And so the orchestra, for the first time in at least 12 years, I believe, does not have any external debt. But we need to keep building so that we can make sure that we never need to borrow again as an institution. And then also, as we grow, get our musician compensation packages up to a level where musicians can come to this community and rely on the LPO, ideally, as their sole source of income, rather than what they have to do now in many cases, which is it's the primary source, but it must be supplemented for them to make it here. In terms of the goals for the orchestra, we're actually at the beginning of a discussion about what we should be doing strategically. We have a unique format here with the orchestra, unlike any other orchestra in the country, with the musician governance model and the heavy involvement in all of our planning. But I think that we probably need to look at updating it for the century that we're in and not living off of certain constructs that were put into place 23 years ago that served the orchestra then but may not be as efficient now. Actually, the orchestra's work in education and community engagement is the most significant part of what the orchestra does these days. Orchestral music, operatic music, you name it, are old traditions in New Orleans, but often I think that's forgotten. We often hear jazz referred to as, you know, one of the indigenous musics of New Orleans. Absolutely, jazz is a New Orleans creation. But if you look at the history of what's been done in this city, there's an amazing tradition that the LPO is a part of and that we are heirs to. So I think the community engagement part is largely trying to reconnect with a diverse section of the community who would love to participate with us.
To learn more about James Boyd's plans for the Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra, go to WWNO.org or NOLAV.com. Oh, what a week is upon us. Thanksgiving and Hanukkah mash up. There's the anticipation of shopping on Black Friday. And to usher in the holidays, the New Orleans Ballet Theater is kicking off the season with the first production of Tchaikovsky's timeless favorite, The Nutcracker, opening this weekend. Joining me now is NOBT Artistic Director Gregory Schrammel. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
You are starting off the holidays with a magical and exotic journey to the land of sweets. So tell us, what will you bring to this timeless tale of Clara and her toy nutcracker turned prince?
Well, we have a couple of wonderful principal artists coming in, Jerome Tisserand and Laura Gilbreth. Laura is actually from New Orleans originally, and they both dance in Pacific Northwest Ballet. We have a young man, Trey Maldwin, coming from North Carolina, and he's going to be our Russian. And of course, we have all of our dancers here, too. That's our hallmark, great dancing. This ballet was done by Petipa, with Ivanov supposedly doing most of the choreography back in the 1800s, and it was a failure. It disappeared from the repertory for a number of years. And then George Balanchine did his production. I think that was in 1948. And ever since then, it's grown and grown and grown.
What is it that keeps us coming back year after year?
Well, it's about a child, Clara, who is on the cusp of becoming a woman, and it's sort of her last Christmas. And gosh, it's really touching.
And the young dancers, where do they come from?
Citywide. We hold an audition that's available to anyone. My wife and I have a school called Trammell Conservatory of Dance, and most of the dancers in the production come from our school, but that's not universal at all. Anybody is welcome to come to the audition, and parts are given out solely based on ability.
Will you be dancing?
I will be Drosselmeyer this year. This is my first time as Drosselmeyer. And I got to tell you, I'm nervous. I've done a lot of character roles, even when I was younger. But Drosselmeyer is something of an open book. You can create it however you want. Drosselmeyer is sort of in some way imbued with magical powers. And my thought is that he's more of maybe a little bit of a scientist in that time period. He creates these magical dolls and he has some magic tricks. You know, it's sort of a scientist at the time who, to the people of that era, you know, we're talking late 1800s maybe, that science looks like magic. So.
And Drosselmeyer is the uncle who brings the toys and the toy nutcracker to Clara.
That's exactly right.
Now tell me, how did you and your wife, Marjorie Hardwick, come to form the New Orleans Ballet Theater?
It was important that people in this community have the ability to produce dance, that young dancers have an outlet if they can become a professional. And we're not a fully professional company at this stage, though I think that's on the horizon in the next 2 years. And we've been at this for 10 years. New Orleans is a big enough city to support this now, and particularly in the region with Baton Rouge and Lafayette and Mobile. We're the smallest big city in the country, or the biggest small city. And we have an opera company and we have a symphony, but we don't have a ballet company.
Well, I'm a little confused. You haven't mentioned the New Orleans Ballet Association.
They're a wonderful company, and they present ballets, but they present ballets that are produced in other cities.
Okay.
That's the real difference. And what they do is vitally important also, but if you're a young person and you have talent and you want to earn a living doing it, you're still faced with going to another community. That's what I'm here advocating for, that does not continue, that if you're from here and you have great talent, I want to be able to give you a job. You know, it's my crusade. What can I say?
You're in your 11th year.
We're in our 11th year, and we have produced, I think, about 25 different major shows at this point. We generally put on between 2 and 3 productions a year, and we're hoping to move that up to 5. And once we move it up to 5, we'll be really a resident, full-time professional ballet company.
What is it that people will remember most from this production?
Tchaikovsky's music is timeless, and you go there and it's brilliant. The themes of the Nutcracker are timeless. They're brilliant. A young girl growing up, family tradition. Gosh, it's such a brilliant piece. So shoot for the stars.
Beautiful. Greg, thanks so much for stopping by.
Always a pleasure.
Gregory Schrammel, Artistic Director of the New Orleans Ballet Theater. NOBT performs Tchaikovsky's The Nutcracker this weekend, Saturday at 2 and 7 p.m., and a Sunday matinee at 2 at Roussel Hall on Loyola University's campus. And we have something extra in our Lanyap Corner. The third annual Bayou Classic Thanksgiving Day Parade kicks off Thursday at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome beginning at 3:30, passing through the French Market District along Decatur Street at approximately 5:30, and ending at the French Market at 6 p.m. The Bayou Classic Thanksgiving Day Parade will feature Grand Marshal Burnell Taylor, a native New Orleanian, and top 12 contestant on season 12 of American Idol. There will be floats, the Grambling State University Marching Band and Southern University Marching Band, local high school bands, along with bands from Mississippi, Alabama, and Arkansas. Santa will disembark from his sleigh at the French Market Farmers Market for photos after the parade. The Garden District Gallery continues its run of The Calligraphy of Trees, a group invitational featuring new work by 13 local and regional artists. This exhibition features photography, paintings in oil, watercolor, and pastel, drawings in ink and graphite, and mixed media sculptures. Artists include Alcaclis Osols, Bevel Knapp, Patty Adams, Kathy Miller Stone, and more. The Garden District Gallery is located at 1332 Washington Avenue. The Calligraphy of Trees is on view through December 8th. Herman Meyer, a native of Lafayette, is the founding president of the International Festival of Louisiana, the largest Francophone visual and performing arts festival in the United States. An exhibition of photographs by Herman Meyer of sculpture found in museums and historic sites of Paris, including the Louvre, Musée d'Orsay, and Versailles, opens December 7th at Melissa Bonin Gallery at 3714 Magazine Street with a reception from 6 to 8 p.m. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at wwno.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.